We're learning about deep analysis of tens of millions of electronic medical records, how they unlock answers to vexing questions in healthcare. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, let's focus our attention on our winter member drive that is underway at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Kate.
And we're here to say this is the time. This is it. Our member drive. You count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations. We count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
That's because listener support is the largest piece of the funding that makes this show and all the others that you enjoy on WPR possible. And it's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And thank you so much to everyone who gave last hour. This hour, we have a goal of 25 gifts.
These hourly goals are really important, helping us to stay on track so that we can keep the discussion going strong on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Indeed, you know, a large slice of funding for WPR programs. The biggest slice of all is listener support, you know, highly caloric. So while all of our funding sources, the state, federal governments, businesses, important, of course, your contribution, it really makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is, thanks to your support. So keep independent and high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is personally important to you as a listener. It's probably also important to you that everyone in the state can access this information and entertainment.
So become a member with a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120, and you're not only doing something good for you yourself, you're doing something good for the entire community. WPR is listener powered, and that's why your participation is so important. Give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Sue German. I live in Middleton, Wisconsin. I feel like I've got a real personal connection to Wisconsin Public Radio. I had a brother who passed away several years ago. He had some mental health issues, but he was an avid listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listening was a bright moment in his day. For that, I'm grateful. So great job. Thank you.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that is why your support during this winter member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And it will be an easy process. We just need your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
That's right. It just takes a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support now, it truly makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for 25 more people to support WPR programs this hour, and then we will meet our goal. WPR is listener powered, and your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is very important.
How about show off your WPR support with every sip out of the 2022 WPR mug? Ask for yours with your gift of $10 a month or more. Your mug collection, you love it, I know it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not already a sustainer, you can become one today. It is easy to set up, and what it means is that you will be making ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. You can set that up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shout out to Chris in Cross Plains this morning. Says the family listens every day in the morning when driving to work and throughout the day. Your podcasts are thrown in there when we're out for a walk as well. So Chris, using the programming all day long, wherever the family is at, your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join Chris, join the Wisconsin Public Radio family, and thank you for your support. Now to the work of mining data from patient health records to help solve problems in public health. Epic, the giant health software company in Verona, has a clinical informatics division analyzing tens of millions of anonymous patient records. They have pooled over decades to provide clues to solve medical issues. Are there patterns or questions you'd like Epic Research to study? What questions do you have about COVID data or trends that you see? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 for conversation. Dr. Chris Mast is Vice President of Clinical Informatics at Epic Systems, part of the Epic Research team. Dr. Mast, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, your records, they keep growing and growing and growing. 136 million records, 156 healthcare systems. So how do you know that you have enough data to work with to get an accurate view on health patterns?
Well, as you would expect, it depends on the question. And we're able to do some initial exploration based on the question to determine, do we have the numbers necessary of the particular patients and conditions that we are looking for in order to make those answers what they call statistically significant? So assuring ourselves that we have the correct amount in order to, as you say, make a conclusion that we can stand behind.
Generally speaking, is more better with data?
Yes, generally speaking, and that's why the size of the Cosmos data is so helpful. Now, it does lead one to be careful about the types of conclusions you draw, because with that many patients, you are invariably going to find some differences between groups of patients as you look at them and as you examine the questions. So then you have to ask, are these differences, in addition to being what we call statistically significant, meaning that we find the difference and it's not, most likely not due to random chance, is it also practically significant? Does it represent a real improvement or difference in healthcare between groups? And so keeping those things in mind is something that you need to do with a large data set that with a smaller data set doesn't enter into the equation as much. So we've learned a lot about those sorts of things as we've had the opportunity to work with this large data set over time.
Well, let's dig into a question with Jane in Suamico. Jane, hi, what's on your mind?
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if your data can show us clusters of unusual cancers that may be related to pollutants in water or soil?
Jane, thank you.
That's a great question, Jane. It is not currently something that we have looked at, but it's an excellent idea. We do have the data in Cosmos to look at various areas by zip code, so that, for example, we have looked at things like elevated lead levels in pediatric patients, and those do tend to cluster in particular areas as well, oftentimes where there is older housing that has some lead in it that maybe newer places would not. But looking at different types of cancers and how they cluster, as you say, around particular areas is an excellent idea. And it is right along the lines of the types of things that we are considering in the Epic Research investigations as we move on from or as we move to include other things in addition to COVID, since COVID was a lot of what we did during that first year.
Dr. Mast, Jane mentions cancer. You have looked, though, at the low cancer screenings. What did you find there?
Well, that was really interesting. And that was one, Kate, that I was part of in the investigation. So cancer screening is something that we've been following since very early in the pandemic. We've done actually a series of four investigations in which we watched the volume of routine cancer screenings for things like breast, colon, and cervical cancer. And as you would imagine, right after the onset of the pandemic, we saw a dramatic decrease in routine screening, something like 94% less screening for breast and cervical cancer than historically we would have expected, 86% decrease in colon cancer screenings, because people were afraid to seek medical care, and the medical community was focused on the pandemic. And so things got put off, as it were. We were expecting to see over time a catch-up period during which many of those people made up those missed screenings. And while the levels of screening have come back up, they haven't quite reached the post or the pre-pandemic levels, and we certainly didn't see any catch-up spike. So that translates into a lot of missed screenings during that time. And the risk of that, of course, is that cancers will be caught later when they're more advanced and harder to treat. So this is a reminder to, if you are due for screenings, get in there, get those things done. It's the best for you and for your health long term.
It's a dramatic drop in breast cancer screenings. That is huge.
Something like 68,000 breast cancer screening opportunities that we would have expected had the pandemic not been in place were missed during the January to October of 2021, where we looked in this most recent brief. That is a tremendous number. And again, just an encouragement to everyone to get those routine screenings, and don't put those off just because, well, for all of us, other things have been in our minds during the pandemic.
Talking with clinical informatics physician Chris Mast of Epic Systems. He works on the Epic research team. You can join in with your questions about health records data and how to analyze them. 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead on the Ideas Network. We're discussing Epic Research on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer, Kent, learning about their latest findings as they crunch data on millions of patient electronic health records. Now let's pick up on our winter member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel, and we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
Listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs you count on, including The Morning Show. And that's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
40 minutes or so in change left to go this hour, and we are looking for 12 more people to join the Wisconsin Public Radio family. And thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't had a chance yet, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
You turn to the Ideas Network for smart, thoughtful conversations about compelling topics that affect your life. You can count on hearing these thought-provoking discussions every day, because WPR is listener-supported public radio. Your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really makes a difference, and it makes these conversations possible.
A great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. As a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
And many people give $10 or $20 a month. You choose whatever amount is right for you. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The news, conversations, and music you enjoy on WPR pair well with a morning cup of coffee or afternoon tea. This member drive, enjoy your favorite hot beverage and show off your support for your favorite radio station. Request your new WPR mug when you give $10 a month or more. This white ceramic mug features a design that'll showcase your love for Wisconsin's nature and WPR. Ask for yours now when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Your support during this winter member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And so your gift, say $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Join this community that believes in the value of WPR and believes in supporting it. It takes the support of more than 50,000 members to make Wisconsin Public Radio what it is and as good as it can be.
Wow. And when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure the news, the information you need is here every day.
We are still looking for more gifts to support WPR programs and to help us meet our goal. We are looking for 12 more people to support us right now. WPR is listener powered, and that's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
How about show your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for the new WPR mug? So it's got the sun, the pine trees, your go-to radio station front and center. You'll show off your WPR support with every sip. It's yours when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you're a sustaining member, thank you. Today, you can increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you would like to add on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Judy in La Crosse is saying, I listen to the radio station every time I'm driving in my car. I like the variety of programming that you offer. Judy, thank you so much. Join Judy, your gift right now. So important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support. Now to the latest from Epic Research, a team inside Epic, one of the largest software companies for electronic health records management, and they work to rapidly share knowledge to help solve medical problems, analyzing their trove of anonymized patient records. What are your questions for Epic about patient data they've analyzed and how they decide what medical questions to tackle? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 for discussion. Dr. Chris Mast is Epic's Vice President of Clinical Informatics. Dr. Mast, you did this recent study on the low risk of catching COVID in a hospital. Can you tell us about the study?
Sure, Kate. It was really interesting. You know, since the beginning of the pandemic, people were reluctant to go to the hospital or to the emergency department for fear of contracting COVID-19. I felt that myself early on there. After all, that's where the sick people are, right? So you don't want to go there. So the Epic research team looked at patients who tested negative for COVID during the first couple of days of their admission, and then tested positive 6 or more days later, the goal being to exclude patients who might have had COVID on admission, but it was too early to ensure a positive test. We were looking to see if people were catching COVID in the hospital. And what the team found was that catching COVID-19 in the hospital is really rare. At the peak, only about 1.8% of patients who didn't have COVID on admission tested positive later. That was back in December of 2020. And in the last half of 2021, it was even lower than that. And we assume that's due to the increased vaccination rates among staff and patients and visitors, which of course make it harder for COVID-19 to spread. So low danger of catching COVID there in the hospital. People are taking all of the appropriate precautions, and it is safe, as we were saying before, to seek care when you need it. And that's important to know.
And so you can make that draw that a bit of a conclusion there, that it's due to increased vaccination rates of hospital staff and taking the appropriate safety precautions with, you know, PPE and things.
We assume that is part of the reason. Again, one of the things with the we call it an observational study that we're able to do or a descriptive study. Those are two types of things that you can do with the type of data we have available, where things are just happening, and rather than intervening as you would in an experiment as such, you just watch what happens and you can draw conclusions and look for associations between things or changes in pattern over time. And then we can make intelligent guesses, inferences, if you will, about mm-hmm. what the causes there are.
And here's something interesting. CDC used data from Epic Research to expedite the approval of Moderna and J&J boosters and in the decision to approve vaccines in the 5 to 11-year-old category. What was the CDC looking for from Epic Research?
Well, as they're trying to make those sorts of decisions, and they and other state and federal agencies are just trying to gather data about things like do boosters help? Does it matter what type of or who the manufacturer of the vaccine was? And so we were able to help bring some data together that supported their conclusion as they were looking to make those recommendations to folks. Also, late last year, Cosmos Data contributed to the FDA's authorization of the Pfizer vaccine to pediatric patients age 5 to 11. And this is a new thing for us, comparatively speaking. Before, we were focused on supporting the great work of organizations that use Epic software around the world. But suddenly, during the pandemic, we found ourselves in a position to pitch in, if you will, in a lot of novel ways. And working with some of those state and government organizations to help support their decisions where we can, working with emergency response teams to help get Epic software set up in some of those, for example, temporary hospital areas and other places that were set up to treat COVID. These are the sorts of opportunities that we had, and we were eager to do that because, again, contributing to the greater health of the population is, and supporting the people who are doing that is what we're all about.
And in just a few seconds here, but Cosmos is the software itself. What is Cosmos?
So if we're talking about a bakery, Cosmos would be the ingredients and the pans and the ovens, the raw materials and the infrastructure. And Epic Research is sort of the bread that we make using those raw materials.
Wonderful. Dr. Chris Mast with us, Vice President of Clinical Informatics for Epic Systems. We'll pick this up ahead. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Join WPR tonight at 7 for live coverage of the 2022 State of the State Address by Governor Tony Evers. It'll be followed by a Republican response from State Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, hosted by WPR's Sean Johnson and PBS Wisconsin's Frederica Freiberg. It's the 2022 State of the State Address tonight at 7 on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org. Still ahead, our conversation continues about the findings of Epic Research as it digs into patient data and medical issues. And now it's time to check in on our winter member drive here at WPR. I'm here with Andrea Schwerbel and listeners, and this means you provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
With about 25 minutes to go this hour, we are looking for 7 more people to join in, make a gift, and help fund the morning show and all the other WPR programs you count on. So go ahead and make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, we've been learning about this fascinating deep data analysis at Epic as it explores these health problems and what medical records can reveal, what millions upon millions of medical records reveal in real world data and the impact on patient care, impact on COVID. It's, you know, these are the kinds of conversations you count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener-supported, and that means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all of these topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
And everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of, say, $100 or $200 a month.
That's pretty comparable to what you might pay for cable or a family phone plan. And listening to WPR, it's something you do every day, so put a value on it, like those other things that are important to you. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
That's right. Go to WPR.org. Feel good about it. 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you send it at $100 a month, some other amount, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Make that gift and make a difference today. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you'll make a great start to your day. And we're having such a great start here as well, looking for 7 more gifts in the door. WPR listener powered. And that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
When you give $10 a month or more, you will be able to show off your WPR support with the 2022 WPR mug. Ask for that mug with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how about this? If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your gift is so important. Make it at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Now to the deep data analysis underway at Verona software giant Epic Systems and how Epic Research is using its trove of patient health data to tackle complex public health questions. Epic's founder, CEO Judy Faulkner, told Forbes last spring in a rare interview that she wakes up every day and thinks, "How do I get everything done in my day?" And Epic's informatics team might ask, I imagine, a similar question about what health question to focus on, considering there's so many medical questions to solve. Still time to talk about large data sets, what you're curious about in Epic Research, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Epic Vice President of Informatics, Dr. Chris Mast, is with us. Dr. Mast, you know, you looked at strep throat. Strep throat, a bacterial infection, starts fast, super painful when you swallow, and that people are prescribed antibiotics without getting a strep test. What is going on there?
Well, it's an interesting question, which is why we wanted to look at it. When someone seeks attention for one of those sore throats that you talk about, the key thing is to determine the cause, especially if it's an infection. And the reason is a bacterial infection, strep throat, can and should be treated by antibiotics to avoid some rare complications, whereas a viral infection isn't affected by antibiotics at all. And using antibiotics unnecessarily can lead to side effects and antibiotic resistance. So you don't want to do it. And the challenge is that it's really tough for even expert clinicians to tell the difference by exam alone. So the recommendation, as you say, is to get a positive test before you use those antibiotics. But unfortunately, as it turns out, it's pretty common that antibiotics are used without testing. So we were looking to see if that happened more often during the pandemic, since some offices were closed and maybe you didn't have person-to-person access. Instead, you're doing telehealth or care over the phone or something like that. And while we did find a modest increase in antibiotics prescribed without testing, the real surprise was the numbers overall. Just over half of office visit encounters for a sore throat resulted in prescribing of antibiotics without a test, while for other visit types, things like urgent care, telephone encounters, telehealth encounters, the number varied from 73% to over 98% of encounters. Now, the takeaways are a little bit complicated, but I think it points to areas where there's room for improvement, things like simplifying the overall testing process for everybody involved, empowering clinicians to follow best practice guidelines, even when there's, I'll call it, pressure to prescribe, and just continuing widespread education for everyone on the risks of over-prescribing antibiotics. Antibiotics are a limited resource, and the more we overuse them, the more risk that they won't work on certain bacterial strains in the future. So looking at that question, we found more surprising numbers than we were expecting.
Well, so there's a rapid test for strep and there's the throat culture, but a throat culture takes more time. Is that right?
It does. Throat culture can take a day or two to come back, but you do have that rapid test, which can take just a few minutes in the office.
I wonder, though, if this might be the pressure of people just wanting to have a quick fix. And as a physician, I would imagine that you want to do too. You want to give your patients a faster end goal, a faster fix.
Yeah, as I think we've all experienced that. You are hurting, you want something that's going to make it better. And the first thought is, well, why not just give it a shot? It's not going to hurt. And that's why I talk about a little bit more of that education, understanding some of the ramifications long term of those what seem like small decisions made by lots of people over long periods of time can end up having overall public health effects. And making people aware of that is a way of helping to combat that. And again, make sure that those antibiotics continue to work when we really need them.
How big of a concern is patient privacy here in the data records that you're mining and how you go about extracting this data from patients' medical records?
It's a great question, and it is something that we pay very, very careful attention to, making sure that we are treating those records respectfully and confidentially, and making sure that we have the appropriate guardrails in place so that everyone can use them for what they're intended for, the types of things we've been talking about, and not for other things. We use what's called a HIPAA-defined limited data set, which means we don't pull names or addresses or phone numbers or a lot of other identifiable information. There are a few additional things that we put in there, things like age and zip code, so that we can ask questions of the sort that we've been talking about, like do patients of a certain age, say 65 or over, stay in the hospital longer with COVID than younger people? And even that very limited patient-specific information is governed by privacy regulations. They're overseen by a Cosmos Governing Council chosen from among our customers. And everybody follows what we call the rules of the road, which every participating organization has to follow. These data can only be used for research, for public health, or for healthcare operations. And I'll also note that that Cosmos infrastructure, which is pulling those data together, that infrastructure is flexible. So individual organizations can tailor their Cosmos data submissions to make sure that they're compliant with state and local laws. So the overall effect is that we take this very, very seriously, and it's something we are continually thinking about.
Talking with Dr. Chris Mast, who is Vice President of Clinical Informatics with Epic, part of the Epic research team, and looking at their studies with electronic medical records. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. So you get bombarded with questions from, you know, government agencies, CDC. You get questions from journalists. They see a trend, and they want to be able to figure out whether what they're seeing is actually a trend. And I'm just wondering how you decide to vet what question that you're going to pursue.
Well, it is a constant task for the folks who are involved in vetting those questions and determining, first of all, which questions can we answer? We have a tremendous wealth of data in that Cosmos database, but we don't have everything. Mm-hmm. And so there are some questions that that we just don't have the ability to answer. Of the questions that we do have the ability to answer, we try to look for what's going to make the greatest impact for the largest number of people, and what are people currently very focused on. And it's a constant balancing act, because as you say, there's all sorts of things that people want to know about, and it's not just, as you mentioned, our internal questions that we generate, but questions come in from participating Cosmos organizations, from media outlets, and so forth. And we have done some of those with National Public Radio, with CNN, with Wall Street Journal, have published results that they've worked on with the EPIC research team. And there are others of those in flight. So I'll just say that choosing amongst all of those questions is difficult. But again, we're looking for those high impact things that can lead to changes in behavior or open up further avenues of investigation for the healthcare community.
Let's bring in Pat now in Wauwatosa. Hi, Pat. What would you like to ask?
Good morning. I'd like to know, as a user of healthcare, what right I have to restrict my data from being used at all.
Great question, Pat. So you you absolutely have the right to determine what's done with your data, and you're the individual healthcare organizations that you see for your care have the ability to either obtain your consent for that, which they do, or to record the fact that you have not consented to that data exchange. And so your data will not be included in that passing back and forth of data, either for research or the simple exchange of data with other organizations as you move around and receive care, so that everybody has your complete story. So the short story is that the controls to this are in your hands, and with each individual organization that you see, you have the ability to consent to that sharing of data or not.
Pat, thank you for that question. I want to look a little further at the work you did around lead and high lead levels in the blood. What did your study say in Akron, Ohio?
So we know that in the United States, kids are at greater risk for environmental lead exposure. As we mentioned earlier, if they live in older housing built in the early 70s, mm-hmm. or if they're in a household that is at or below the federal poverty level. And so our study looked at 5.6 million pediatric patients born between 2014 and 2020 who had elevated blood levels, well, who had blood lead level measurements in the system, and we were looking for concentrations of elevated lead levels. And as you say, we found certain places in the Midwest and in the Northeast states, not at all uniformly. There's clusters, for example, in North Central Illinois, in Northeast Ohio, in the Akron and Cleveland area, and in a couple of other places. And as you may be aware, lead poisoning causes developmental delays and neurologic changes. It can also lead to abdominal pain and irritability, and actually in really high levels can actually be dangerous and threaten one's life. So these are the sorts of things that are very important to catch, and it's why routine lead level testing is done in pediatric patients. It's interesting that we've seen this clustering in these few areas in the Midwest and in the Northeast. And again, as far as we're aware, that relates to the age and vintage, if you will, of the housing that's available there.
And folks
who are not able to maybe move out of those areas due to some poverty things. This also can potentially be a hint of infrastructure problems. You recall, I think all the listeners will recall, the water crisis in Flint, Michigan, mm-hmm. which is actually still ongoing. That increased public awareness of the dangers of lead exposure and the associated health inequities. And that actually was uncovered, not using Cosmos data, but using some data out of the EPIC systems that are used there, and some clinicians doing some investigation there to follow up on some hunches that they had. So even during that initial lead crisis, there was a thread of Epic tools and data being used there as well.
Dr. Mast, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate, so much for having me again. This is a pleasure.
Dr. Chris Mast, Vice President of Clinical Informatics at Epic Systems. We have a link to Epic Research at WPR.org/mornings. And for disclosure, Epic is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show, and we're getting up to speed on our winter membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent with Andrea Schwerbel, and as a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you join us, and that is thanks to your support. Listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make the morning show. You make everything else you hear on WPR possible.
And Kate, we have met our goal for this hour. That is thanks to 25 people who made a gift this hour. Thank you.
And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have been learning all about healthcare data and how it can help us explore different questions and issues. It's been very interesting, and these are the kinds of conversations that you can count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many, many topics that you join us for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
When you ask for the new WPR mug, you'll be celebrating Wisconsin's sunny days any day because the mug features a navy, retro, sunshine, and pine tree design. And it is a shout out to your number one Wisconsin radio station. Support WPR with a gift of $10 a month or more right now and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What kinds of things do you spend a dollar a day on?
My gym membership I definitely spend probably more than a dollar a day on.
The bus.
Easily gum.
Spinach.
I spend a buck or two on a delicious treat every day, though I do share it with a friend often.
It's easy to spend a dollar a day, or even more, on things that are a part of your daily routine. What about Wisconsin Public Radio? Every day you get information and news that helps you understand the world. You also hear music that lifts your spirits and entertainment that makes you smile. So invest a dollar a day in Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Andrea Schwerbel. Listener support, it is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you have come to rely on over the years. And that's why your support during this winter member drive, so critical, so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it is $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Thank you so much for helping us meet our goal this hour. 25 people joined in, and we met our goal. If you haven't made a donation yet, you still can at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Absolutely. You are part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. And whether you've been listening for years, just a few months, maybe you were a backseat listener growing up, you can become part of our community of members, people who support the programs they value.
If you've never given before, you might start with a gift of $120 or an ongoing gift of $10 a month. But whatever the amount, any contribution makes you a member, and the largest piece of our funding comes from members. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888 202-2552.
And how about this? If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by, say, $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, inch it up, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Andrea, take it away.
Thank you. Your gift right now is so important. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make that gift if you haven't already. Very easy to do. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.